Warning, your listening device has been infected by Gavin Cyberdeath.
Hello, you are listening to Davin Cyberden, the antivirus to boring radio. In studio are Joe Curry.
Hello.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And yours truly, Davin Rosenblatt. Got a big show tonight. Very excited to get to it. On the show, we'll be talking with Jim Malahy, who is an ethical hacker. Not one of those hackers that make all the news, but somebody who's actually working for the good guys.
Right.
That's good.
That is good. Well, that's why we have him. Mm. Only bad guys on this show is sitting right here talking to the mic right now. We're going to ask Jim what exactly this involves, and more importantly, what you should be doing right now to keep yourself and your business safe. We'll be answering some of our emails, and we will scam the African romance scammers. So it's going to be a fun time. Little ha-ha. Always good when we scam the African romance scammers.
I love that.
Do you?
Yeah, it's my story.
I don't think they're so fond of it.
Yeah, they don't like that show.
I don't think they like Davin Cyberden as much as we like talking to them.
That's true.
But I kind of want to get right into it tonight, if you guys don't mind. I really want to get right into the interview.
Sure, jump right in.
All right, so I'm going to introduce our guest for tonight's show. He's an ethical hacker, like I said, who's tasked with making sure companies are as safe as possible so they're not vulnerable to cyber attacks, and we're hearing about these cyber attacks with greater frequency.
All the time.
So what qualifications does Jim Malahy have? I will tell you.
Please.
He's a certified business continuity specialist, a certified systems security professional. He's not one of those amateurs.
that's professional.
He's professional.
Professional.
He's GIAC certified penetration tester, a job I applied for. I did not get.
I think you thought it was something else.
I did, and both accounts I came up short. So it was a little disappointing. But you know what are you going to do? We got a man who's qualified. So that's good. And he's a GIAC security and network auditor. Without further ado, please welcome Jim Malahy. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Davin. Thank you for having me on the show today.
It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us. I got to be honest with you. I really don't know that much about what you do. I kind of know what you're tasked with. But I'm sure a lot of people don't even realize that there are ethical hackers out there. So, Jim, what exactly does your job entail?
Well, the key part of the job of an ethical hacker is really to try to think and act in an evil manner and in a basically in a way that's going to help companies identify any potential holes in their network, in their computers, so that they can plug those holes before the attackers get to their network. And one of the key things that I always equate it to is being a security professional is a lot like being a hockey goalie. Like a hockey goalie, yes.
Okay, does that mean you're Canadian? I don't understand.
No. Basically, it's really trying to you're trying to stop all the different types of attacks that are coming at you.
Okay.
And it would be like they're having an entire NHL team taking shots on goal, and you're trying to protect it all.
So it's one versus hundreds.
Exactly.
It sounds daunting.
It is definitely a very difficult task because there's probably more attackers. There certainly are more attackers than security professionals. So that's at a disadvantage there, but there are certainly a number of very talented people to learn from, and the industry is certainly growing and moving in the right direction, I think, at this point, even though it may be coming more in the news lately with some of the significant breaches.
Right.
But we're moving in the right direction.
I mean, so, how did you fall into this? This sounds like a fairly new career that one can take. I mean, I don't remember this 20 years ago. It might have been there, but I don't remember this type of profession existing 20 years ago.
It did exist 20 years ago, but there were very few performing the role, and it has significantly evolved, just as really like the internet and all other aspects, as the environments become more connected and more people, more devices, it certainly has increased exponentially.
So what type of company would call somebody like yourself for help? Where are you finding people calling you?
We typically work for organizations that can be fairly small. Typically the smallest type of company is going to be at 50 employees plus. But our biggest market is really more the enterprise and mid-level companies who need assistance protecting a large number of servers and workstations devices overall.
Are there certain industries that you're getting more phone calls from, whether it be healthcare, insurance, entertainment industries? I mean, does your phone ring from a certain company type of a place of business more than it does others?
Like banking?
Hey, that's a good one.
That's exactly the financial services in general, banking, insurance. Those are the key areas that my organization gets a lot of calls from.
Mm-hmm.
As well as healthcare has been becoming much more significant recently with a lot of the information, a lot of different things happening there.
Well, I mean, the banking seems like kind of a no-brainer. You get all their credit card, all their banking information. But why do you think the healthcare industry is seeing such an uptick in needing you?
Well, it's funny in one way because now at this point, a healthcare record is actually more valuable than a full identity, social security number, and credit card. So that's an interesting turn. Because it's easier to replace someone's identity than it is their health record, because you can't change that.
But why would you need the health records? Like, why would you need to know if I had measles or some more embarrassing disease?
Well, there's certainly information like that. There's a number of different medical conditions that can prevent someone from getting physicians, Often, the reason why health records are becoming more important to attackers is because people are using it to have procedures performed, for instance, if they can steal someone's insurance information. And that's a big, big concern at this point.
Are you finding that more often you're called in as a precautionary measure, or after these businesses have already been hacked and are like, oh gosh, I guess we should look at this so it doesn't happen again? Where are you getting the majority of your calls?
My particular area of experience is typically more in advance as an assessment, but we have been consulted after the fact in a few events.
So, when you're called in, are there, like, specific vulnerabilities that you're looking for, Jim?
Yes. I mean, we're trying to identify any vulnerabilities that exist in the environment, and there's a couple of ways we go about doing that. We perform vulnerability scans, and we also survey other areas of the organization based on the way systems are configured, the way people conduct themselves, is probably more important at this point because we have a lot of technology that can help protect us.
Mm-hmm.
But people's actions and not being able to recognize phishing attacks and things of that nature are still probably more important at this point. I mean, maybe not more important, but more prevalent.
So you guys come in, you guys assess what's going on, and I'm sure you're also, like, trying to train the people, go, hey, you got to, like, alter some behavior.
Absolutely. Security awareness training is a key aspect and a regular recommendations to our clients.
You know, it's funny, you know, a lot of our fans, you know, they kind of are a little bit more cyber savvy now, but still, all the time, people still click on things that, you know, they think can't harm them or anything, but you open up that email attachment, you think it's from somebody, you know, it's not, and next thing you know, you've opened up a bunch of malware, and I'm guessing that opens up these security holes.
That's exactly what it does. Typically, if there's based on the way the system, your system is configured, you open up that attachment, it runs a script, and then it's communicating back to a command and control center. So you become an active bot in many cases.
Jim, can you hang on for a few minutes? Because I'm really learning a lot of stuff here, but we got to take a break. We're up against. Do you mind hanging out with us?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
We appreciate your time. We'll be back in just a few short minutes. You are listening to Davin's Cyber Den. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Cyber Den. We are joined, of course, with internet security expert, ethical hacker, Jim Malay. He learned a lot of stuff in the first segment with Jim. Jim, I want to continue that conversation. Pip has a question. She's raising her hand like we're in school.
Well, I wanted to see if it was okay, if you don't mind. I was just wondering, I know that you're an ethical hacker. Was there ever a time in your life that you were an unethical hacker, sort of like the Leonardo DiCaprio's a character in Catch Me If You Can?
Unfortunately, well, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, depending on the way you look at it, I have not ever been an unethical or a black hat hacker.
A black hat hacker?
Black hat?
Yes, that's what they would call someone who is does it more for their own good or for they're more of an attacker than the black hat.
So it's like anonymous? Are they known as like black hat hackers?
That's correct. And sometimes you'll also have the gray hats, which are kind of really fall in between. They'll sometimes be a white hat, which is what I would consider myself.
Of course you would.
Black hat.
No self-respecting black hat hacker would consider him as such. Nobody wants to be Darth Vader.
There you go. If
I was a hacker, I'd probably be a black hat hacker.
Really?
Yeah, because it makes my head slimmer.
For that reason.
For that reason, yes. That's why I would do it.
I can see that.
But
I can see the cowboy hat on you right now.
That's why I wear the black cowboy hat when I do comedy.
There you go.
But and I'm hacking, but for a different reason. All right, enough about me and my career. Back to Jim. That's what people are here for. They want the cyber stuff, and that's what we are giving them. So we talked about how you go into these companies and you help them identify their vulnerabilities and try to change their behaviors and everything. So if you find a company calls you in, Jim, and you go, listen, I found weaknesses over here and over there. What's the next step for that business to do?
Well, typically, when we put together a report, what we're going to do is we're going to tell them what kind of effort they need to take and how it needs to be prioritized. Because we certainly don't – we want to make sure that they address the highest risk. That's what I was talking about earlier when I feel like a goalie at times.
Right.
You want to make sure that you're taking – you're covering the greatest area and those items that can hurt you the most.
So they have to prioritize. They have, you know, you have all these issues, and you go, well, listen, this is the most pressing one. This is the one that can be really gotten badly right away. So that's what they have to do?
Absolutely, because it's always got to be a business decision, because you're not doing – basically, there's no such thing as total security. Otherwise, you're not doing business.
And what are the most high-pressing areas that you usually come against?
Well, there's the three areas that I particularly see is the lack of systems that are patched, and then there's organizations or really they are organizations now, hacking teams or attackers that build exploits to go after those systems. And then we already talked a little bit about phishing attacks. And then really system misconfiguration that allows them in, whether someone sets up a firewall and it doesn't work as they anticipate it will, because these things do get rather complex to maintain over time if they're not checked on a regular basis.
That's got to be the worst. That's got to be the IT guys. No, I checked everything. Everything's good. We're safe. And then Jim comes in and goes, no. You haven't updated, you haven't configured, you need to do this, that, the other thing. That's right. Got to be a bad day for the IT team when you would come strolling in.
Well, I always look at it when we put together a report, we want to make sure that we identify the positives that an organization's doing, because nobody is doing it all. Like I said, otherwise you're not really doing business.
No, that's smart.
As long as you're making good business decisions about what you're protecting.
So, in your experiences, I mean, the hacks that make a lot of the headlines very often, oh, yeah, China hacked the White House, the Pentagon, or North Korea hacked Sony. But in your experiences, though, are you finding that most of the companies are being hacked by teams domestically or foreign?
Well, I think it's mostly foreign at this point. There actually Symantec actually puts together a very nice, I forget what it's called at the moment, but they have it identifies the source of most malware and most attacks.
Okay. So, now, all right.
They
so,
have it in Internet Security Report.
So Symantec says, Fiji's hacking us. Let's pretend.
It's fun to pretend.
Sure it is. Like, is there now, like, with that information, I mean, can you trace it back to the actual people, or is it just broad, like, well, it's coming from this country? I mean, how detailed is it?
Well, it really depends on how thorough the attacker is. Sometimes, and it depends on the attack type. Sometimes there'll be log information. If an organization configured everything appropriately, you'll be able to identify the source in a lot of cases. But the challenge is when actually home users actually get attacked and their personal systems become bots, they look like they're the attacker.
So,
and that's where it gets to be in a very gray area and difficult to track back.
So what happens is you'll have somebody from possibly abroad or domestically, but they'll make it seem like the hacks that they're really perpetrating are coming from my computer per se.
Absolutely, that's a great explanation.
And what are these hackers looking to do? Are they doing it for kicks, or are they trying to do some really nasty things?
Well, I think that you have a wide range of motivations for different attackers,
mm-hmm.
but most are going for profit. I mean, there's certainly some that do it for political reasons, but really still economics is the greatest motivator still at this point, and so that's why you do see that, you know, medical records and credit card or financial records are the greatest targets.
Now, you mentioned political reasons, and very often we're finding out that private citizens are having all their information spilled online for everybody. People who really have no political affiliation with whatever goals are trying to be achieved anyway. Is our government doing anything with these companies, trying to make sure that these companies are doing everything they can to protect everybody they have in their network and all the information they possess?
I do believe that they're going to some great lengths to put those protections in place. But as I mentioned in the analogy before about being the goalie, there's so many things coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, basically it's near impossible to plug all the holes.
We got about, I would say about a minute here, but I think this is very important. What should our listeners who are listening right now be doing to protect themselves and their company? What can they do before they call in you to secure themselves?
Well, I think it comes down to certainly maintaining an awareness to any type of phishing attacks, patching their systems on a regular basis. I know a lot of people get annoyed by the Microsoft updates or any other updates. You got to keep them up to date.
Okay.
Certainly, really. And in some cases, it may be inconvenient, but in your browser, turn off Java and use, like, NoScript. Those types of things would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing is you really got to be careful about your password. Do not try to avoid using the same password in multiple locations. Try to get a password manager to help you remember the password.
Jim?
Because if... Yep.
Yes. No, we're up against it. These are great tips. You guys can contact the show, and we will. If you guys have any questions, we'll try to answer them, or we'll try to get Jim to answer them. Jim, thank you so much for this segment. We learned so much. Everybody, please be safe. We're going to be back with more Davin Cyber Den in just a few seconds. So stay where you are. Back. You are, of course, listening to Davin Cyber Den. We just had Jim Leahy, an ethical hacker. Really quite interesting. Good stuff. Learned a lot. What exactly they do. And, you know, he said it. We've kind of talked about it in the past. Nobody's really safe.
No.
But you got to bring in a guy like him to do the best that you can to button up. Because you think, like he talked about, you think your firewall is safe and it's not configured right. And next thing you know, you're open to it.
Well, it's like with the IT. You mentioned to him about the IT guys. You know, the IT guys might feel that, you know, we tried everything, and now this guy's finding stuff. But that's why you hire a fellow like that.
Well, that's what happened with Ashley Madison. They thought they were all buttoned up. They thought they were all safe. And you got hacked. Nobody's safe. But you got to do everything you can do. And what a lot of people do with us is, because they're not sure. I mean, we're kind of like immersed in this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know a lot of the ins and outs, but we're constantly learning. But we always get emails, and it's always nice when we get emails. You know, people like the show, whatnot. But they people have questions. So we try to answer the questions. No question is a stupid question.
No.
As they say, but really some are. No.
Oh, great way to never get emails again.
No, no. The stupid questions didn't make it to this segment.
That's true.
The stupid questions, we just write back, go, really? No. We don't do that. But we have some good questions here. What we try to do with these questions is we try to make them broad so that we feel like they can help as many people as possible.
Right, not the most specific, like, I specifically had this, but the ones that could, you know, that happen to a lot of people.
I see Joe Curry keep on friend requesting me. What can I do?
Got no choice.
We write back and apologize.
We're sorry. We can't control him. So, Pip, you have the email bag, as
I
it
do.
Were.
I do. And we have an email here from Glenda from Vermont. And she said, sometimes I get emails from banks that I don't do business with asking me to verify my information. Does this mean that someone set up an account there in my name?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
I mean, but why would somebody set up a bank in your name? But you don't know.
You don't know.
If somebody's going to set up a bank in my name, I hope they give me in gold. I hope they pay me in gold.
Yeah. I think she means a bank account.
Oh, a bank account. I thought we were trying to find doubloons. I had no.
No,
idea.
No.
Well, I mean, a lot of times these are you get these things in the email. They're called, and Jim spoke about it earlier, they're phishing emails.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's kind of like phishing. Basically, think of somebody on the dock, and they're casting their reel.
Right.
And they're sending out all these emails. And you are the fish.
Right.
Different spelling, but you're the fish. If he gets a nibble, he gets a response from your email address, he goes, okay, all these email addresses I bought, at least three of them are working.
I got a couple live ones.
If they're responding to me, now I can really start. And that's where the game begins. That's why you don't want to respond to any of these things. If you see an email, and a lot of times it goes to the spam filter, but if it gets through, you see an email from somebody you don't know, your best move is delete.
If it looks at least a little suspicious to you.
And with the emails that you get every day, day in and day out, you can tell the ones that look suspicious.
Some of the outrageous ones. Right. But I mean, from a bank, you think it's a legitimate institution.
Yeah, and I also think the elderly, if people have older parents or grandparents, I would go over with them things that they might see that would be phishing. Because they're not that savvy with the internet.
Yeah.
So, looking on them. Take a look, see what they're looking at.
So let's say you open up your email and you're curious. Don't respond. Don't click on any attachments. Don't click on any links. Your next move should be, all right, so Wells Fargo is sending me this email. Right. Your next move should be go to Wells Fargo. And they have a fraud center. They have a page and everything where you could, they might say, listen, we're aware of these type of scams going. Mm-hmm. So if it says this, that, the other thing, this is a scam, delete. But you still have questions. They have phone numbers.
Right.
They have tech support. It doesn't cost you anything to get on the horn and call Wells Fargo or Bank of America and explain. I did it when I had one from an airline. It wasn't I had an airline thing that looked kind of fishy.
Interesting.
And I called them, and they took note of it and everything and made them aware. Now, other people have gotten similar from other airlines.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how these companies stay a step ahead, because they don't know every scam that's being perpetrated in their name. So you're really doing them a service.
Right.
If you notify them, letting them
know what's going on, exactly.
I just I got an email from a bank that I didn't do business with either, and I looked them up.
Was it a blood bank?
No, unfortunately. Yeah. Blah. I looked them up, and
it could have been a different bank, Joe.
And the other thing is, when you're looking up their website, make sure that you're not clicking on the link in the email and following it to a website that looks right. But always make sure that the email starts with. The email address starts with HTTPS when you go to their fraud site. Then you know you're in a secure page and that you're looking at the real banking website.
Mm.
And something else you do, and then we'll move on with this. Yearly, I would get a free credit report. I mean, there's three credit agencies out there. Get a credit report. Because sometimes credit cards are opened up in your name, and you're like, what? I didn't do this. And you got to be on top of that, because somebody could be, spending money in your name and ruining your fine credit rating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the next email. This is from Nigel from New York. And he said, I lost my wife to Parkinson's disease about 2 years ago. I recently decided to begin dating again, and my friend from work helped me sign up on some dating sites that seemed respectable. I got an email from a woman saying that she liked my profile that she saw on my dating site that I never signed up for. How can I find out which dating site gave my information out to another site, and why would they do that?
Well, I mean, no dating site is going to give your information without your permission. So you need to talk. So you said you were working with a friend, Nigel. You need to call up your friend again on the horn. Again, phone calls, very good. It's a good way to communicate with people. Call up, go, you know, listen, Matchbox.com just said, this beautiful woman is interested in me. I don't recall us registering for Matchbox.com, but I was a little distracted at the time. Does this ring a bell with you?
Right. And maybe they did it for you because, you know, they want to help you out. They want you to get dating.
And then if you find out you're not, you did not register for this site, you're going to want to contact that site. Because, again, they have a fraud department. It doesn't do that. These businesses do not want fraudulent activities going on in their names either.
Right.
So you got to let them know, go, listen, this is not me. I did not register for your site and everything. So can you please take it down? And
right.
They should.
They should. And also, I lost my train of thought.
You lost your train of thought?
Sentence, yeah,
run
sad.
Off the tracks.
Yeah, boom. Also, if you go to the website, they must have a way to delete your profile on there anyway. Try to do that.
Right, but I think a lot of times that's if you're a member.
Yes.
If you're not a member, you really need to contact the people in charge of their fraud department or anything, because then they don't owe you anything. They don't know you from Jim.
Right.
Well, not that gym. But they don't know you. So you got to say, listen, I never registered. You could check your records and everything. You have nothing on me.
Right.
So you can't delete if you're not a member. Very quickly, let's try to – do we have time for one more question, Pip?
No. No, we don't have time for another question, but we can finish this one up.
I thought we did.
Well, no, because they might be a romance scammer.
They might be a romance scammer.
You know?
That could be, too, if they get the information on that, you know?
The person writing, and we've seen that happen, that the person writing writes and says, I saw you on such and such site, and you're like, what? I never
that. You know, they'll say that they claim they found you on Matchbox.com and everything, and next thing you know, they're emailing you and everything.
I mean, that's the way the scammers find you on Facebook. I saw your Facebook profile. So if it's a profile on the internet, just another place that they can get it.
Yeah. So...
And when a romance scammer, what they're going to do is they're going to tell you very briefly. They're going to tell you, because I could go on for days on this. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you how fabulous you are, and you are. But they don't know you. And they're going to butter you up, and they're going to try to build an instant connection, try to find out about you as quickly as they can, all in the hopes of getting money at some point. Or things. Could be a computer. Could be anything.
Well, we probably do have time for one more. We have 1 minute. We have Jennifer from Kansas. I met my boyfriend Sean on the internet, and we have been in love for the last 7 months. He's a sergeant in the U.S. Army and is currently stationed in Afghanistan. I don't understand why our army is so disorganized that Sean sometimes has to wait for his pay so he can't buy food and basic necessities. I've sent him as much money as I can every payday, but he still sometimes goes without food and gets weak in the heat. My cousin says the army doesn't make their men pay for food, but Sean wouldn't lie to me. What can I do to help him and the rest of his soldiers?
Okay, very, very quickly. No, the military does not have to pay for food. They don't have to pay for airfare. They don't have to pay for any of this stuff. But think about this. If they're overseas fighting in Afghanistan, where I believe she said they're from,
yes.
They don't have time to they're fighting a war. They don't have time to hang out on the internet and chat with you, as lovely as you are. They don't have time to do that because they got an authority figure that says, you need to peel some potatoes or patrol or go out. You can't do that. So I would immediately ask them to video chat, and they're going to say, I can't video chat. They can. I've been overseas to these bases. If they have time to email with you, then chances are there's a cyber camera. Also, you can ask for an AKO, which is an Army Knowledge Online email address. Every active U.S. Army member has one. It cannot be faked. It's an email that ends in a .mil. No scammer can fake it, though they'll try. So that, very briefly, I mean, I could go on about romance scams forever.
Really?
And the military, and the military ones in particular. Mm. But yes, very briefly, they are fed. You are listening to Davin Cybergen. We will be right back. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Cyberden. Thank you guys for hanging out with us thus far. We're getting close to the end of the show, the final quarter of the show, if you will. A quarter which I'm fond of because we touched on briefly these romance scammers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're quite nefarious.
Absolutely, yes.
And some of them are actually tied with organized crime and Boko Haram, which, of course, is a pledged allegiance to ISIS and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, innocent people are approached by these romance scammers, as we just, you know, found out.
We just heard from Nigel.
Yeah. So what we try to do in our free time is we like to scam them back. Because you know what? We feel that they really would want that.
It's fighting fire with fire, so to speak.
It really is. You know, we try to do it in a humorous way and everything, but we also do it to glean information from them.
Yes, so. And well, keep them busy so that they're not scamming like other people.
Like Nigel.
Right. Exactly.
So this is us scamming scammers. This is a Flory. You guys are going to meet Flory. I think you're going to like Flory.
Really?
Yeah, Flory has a special place in my heart.
Yes.
You got to love Flory. So enjoy some of Davin's Cyber Den, fighting fire with fire, as Joe said.
Yes.
With Flory. Here you go.
Let's do the thing I've been working on for the past week.
Yes.
I'm very intrigued
Let me
very intrigued.
This up here. There are these people that are known as romance scammers. So what they like to do is they get these people that are lonely, and they email them or they go on these eHarmony whatever websites and everything and try to lure you in and try to make you feel that they really like you and then try to hit you for the money. That's what they do. I had no experience with any of this stuff because nobody wants me to really like them that much. So I'm sitting home on a Tuesday, I believe it was. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. And I get a Facebook friend request from somebody I don't know. Again, it happens. We meet people, whatnot. I'm usually pretty skeptical of who these people are. So she's got 6 friends. They're all comics and everything. I don't know her, but I got the friend request. So my friend, I accept her friendship. I'm like, you know what? Let me build the show one fan at a time. Because that's basically all I can do. So we began a relationship.
Oh.
Those are my divorce papers? What the hell are you doing here?
So here's the thing. We're going to go through some of this because it took turns. Because I wanted to make a friend. Now this relationship has taken turns, and at some point our pals Joe, Pip, and Anthony will be involved in this. So here it is. So I accept her friend request. Hello, how are you, babe? So we have a little chit chat. Nice to meet you. All of a sudden, in one little blurb, I am Flory Howard by name.
What is she, a can-can girl? Flory Howard.
Now this is her picture on Facebook. Flory Howard, F-L-O-R-E, Howard.
Looks like she's taking a dump.
No, sorry, I like that in a chick. That's her Facebook picture.
Flory Howard.
Yes.
Flory Howard.
Well, at least it's a pretty name.
Sure.
But Agnes
Schwartz
the was
grimace that went with that.
Like, now you watching, you,
Kravitz,
you guys watching, you will see that I have an email address up here. So anyway, all in one blurb, I am Flory Howard by name, I am single, never married, 30 years old, I am from Hawaii, USA, but currently I live with my mother in Benin Republic, Porto Nova. So I ask her where that is, she says it's a small French country. I thought she was talking about Europe. I wasn't paying that much attention.
I had never heard of this country before, to be honest.
I did more research later, as I will tell you about,
okay,
to find out where this
in
is.
In hour 3 of this.
She, I know.
Now, she asked what my name is when she just fucking friend requested me. So she's not bright.
So yes.
Then I give her my. Then she asks, how old are you? Are you single or married?
Oh,
this is quite forward.
Oh, hello.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be in a budding relationship, so I was honest.
Idiot.
I told her I was married. How long have you been married? I'm surprised you're single. You really don't know me, then, do you? Oh, no, I told her. Why? Then I'm turning on the charm. That's a pretty girl like you living in an exotic place like that. Seem to be outgoing. Anyway, so we're talking about marriage and everything. She said, she asked me how my wife is doing. Why? I asked her what she does for a living. She's studying, not working. Of course she is.
Of course she is.
What is she studying? High school fashion design.
Oh, boy.
How old is she? 30 years old.
What is she, designing Hello Kitty bags?
I'm lightheaded. Was her name Peggy?
How many years has she been in high school?
You graduated high school. I went to college in Hawaii. So I asked her, how come if she graduated college in Hawaii,
yes,
and is 30 years old, why is she in high school? Long story. At this point, I am not intrigued. I let it go.
Long story. This is so stupid.
Now she got left back 30 times.
It happens.
She tells me that she was going to study nursing, but it was too hard, so she went into fashion design. Who am I to judge? I wanted to be a lawyer, so she wanted to be a fashion designer. But for her, but I was planning to become a nurse, but my girl advised me that nursing is a very hard job. So is English, stupid.
Did you ask her another question?
Then she asked me what I think about fashion designer. I said, I think if you love it,
believe me, I've seen what you think of fashion.
Well, Joe shot. I told you there'd be openings. She asked me how many kids I have. She asked me what I do for a living. This is where I turn on the power. Comedian, producer, entertainment company owner. So she tells me I'm doing a good job. I ask her why she said that. Because I like someone that is a comedian, producer, entertainment company owner, radio show host. Cut and paste much, stupid? So I tell her, I guess you have finals coming up. What's it like to be in fashion school? Fashion is very nice. I like it. It always makes me happy when I watch fashion TV.
Holy spot run. Great vocabulary, stupid.
Wow.
I asked her what she's got planned for the day. She's going to go for a walk. I'm like, all right, I'll see you later. She's like, no, I don't have to go now. Again, where is my wife?
Oh, why?
Because this is budding love, young Pip.
Oh, I see. I don't know how to do this.
What does she do? She's working. Where is she? What do you tell your wife when she sees you chafing with another woman?
Chafing? What do you?
She gets the talcum powder.
I tell, not something I really do on a daily basis. I would never tell her. I would broadcast it.
Cheating.
I get fans hitting me all the time, though, so chatting is nothing out of the ordinary.
I'm
lying too.
Big time.
But I guess your wife must be jealousy.
Yes. I married jealousy. Sloth and lust.
Hey, jealousy. Hey, jealousy.
That's the Jim Blossom.
Yeah. Hey, jealousy.
Why is that? Are you a jealous person? No, she asked me what we were not jealous.
Then she asked me,
what do you think about me? I think you're kind of forward for asking that. I go, what do you care what I think about you? I just want to, babe. I just want to know what you think. And I'm being a nice guy here. Never worry about what others think, but I think you're nice. I was going to put swell. I'm a very good-looking man. So she asked me, do I like to play golf? I say, I play it.
Do you golf?
I did, but I'm not good at it. A couple times, yeah. I'm bringing this up because this is going to be important later.
Oh, okay.
That's the reason I'm telling you about this. I know the way this turns out.
Oh, yes. See, that's...
Yes, I do play. Are you good? Yes. Yeah, babe. I want to know what you do at your leisure time. I want to know what you are looking for. I want to know about your search. Are you looking for a serious relationship or just a friend? What are the qualities you want in a woman? Clearly, it's not my wife, I guess. I guess we're just moving right past her. She's at work.
Holy cow.
What are the qualities I want in a woman? Permissive.
No. I'm like, why do you want to know all this stuff? Right now, I'm just chilling and multitasking like a mofo. All right, my radar is up. I don't know anything, but this is not usual.
I'm sorry. I still want to know about the golf. I think. Does she think you're Tiger Woods?
We're going to get to it. She's a very good golf player. We'll get to the golf.
Okay.
Then she goes, then I go to her. I turn it around. Why don't you tell me what you're looking for? And then normally when you're on Facebook, you see people typing.
Yeah.
And then it appears because you see them typing.
Yes.
All of a sudden, there's no typing. I'm waiting for a while. Here it is. Babe, I'm looking for
babe.
A man.
Babe. It starts with babe.
Babe.
How long have you been?
8 minutes? Maybe. Babe, I'm looking for a man that will be able to listen to me, communicate his feelings to me, make me laugh. Wrong place.
Yeah.
Hold and comfort me in need. Stand by my side. Respect me. Stand. Passionate lover in every way.
Whoa.
Support me in every way. Love me and only me. Make me smile. Protect me when needed. Romantic time to time. Constantly relative.
Constantly relative.
I guess it's West Virginia.
Yeah.
Treat me right. Got the wrong guy there. I know you will think what is a pretty girl like me doing on here?
Well, as you guys can tell by looking at the clock, we are quickly running out of time. That was a good time scamming Flora. There's much more of that, as you can imagine, ahead in the coming weeks. I want to thank once again Jim Mulahey for dropping some knowledge on us, telling us all about ethical hackers and what they do and what you can do to keep yourself safe. Joe, very quickly, where will you be appearing this week?
Brokerage Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday. Go to governors.com, click on the brokerage, and you are there.
That is awesome. I will be at the Comedy Cabaret in Doylestown, PA. If you mention my name, you get half price on the tickets. Remember, knowledge is a scammer's Achilles heel. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Davin's Cyberden.